Hey there, welcome to Sharkcast Pod, a podcast dedicated to the greatest sporting club in the history of the world, the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. This show is proudly brought to you, as always, by Dyson Logistics, our friend Jason Hawes at Cripps & Cripps, the Royal Motor Yacht Club at Port Hacking, Endeavour Property Services, and the brilliant and beautiful Shark Island Brewing. Thanks to each and every one of you for sponsoring us over the vast majority of what has been 6 years so far, and we really appreciate your loyalty, and hopefully our listeners can provide that back to you. So thanks very much to our sponsors. It really helps us do what we do. Get in touch with us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. DM us preferably, but if you want to leave us a comment somewhere, that's also fine, obviously, in this free world we are living in. My name is Sam Shinazzi. I'm one half of the podcast. The other half of the podcast is Adam Newman, the birthday boy. He and I are unable to do an episode this week together, mainly my fault. He has given his blessing for me to go forth and do this episode tonight. It's going to be a little bit different to past solo episodes, which I'll get into very shortly. Thanks for your listenership so far this year. Our numbers have been really, really great, and we really appreciate it. And our inbox this week has gone through the roof, as you'll hear in the letters section later. So we very much are aware that you guys drive our show. You guys and girls, I should say, drive our show. And I keep saying the word appreciate it, but I can't say it enough. So thank you for your listenership. Thank you for your loyalty, Sharkcast Pod. So last Friday night, as you all know, the Sharks went down to the Knights in a very, very bad way. On my way home after the game had finished, I hit record on my phone driving, and I vented for about 10 minutes, and I was going to post an emergency podcast, but I didn't for various reasons. But given what's happening this week with Adam and I not being able to be together, I thought it'd be kind of cool just to show you the emotions I was going through. So what you're going to hear in a minute or so was recorded post-game Friday night after Newcastle. Raw, pretty unedited, and how I felt almost immediately after the game, within half an hour or so, I think it was from memory. Hopefully it gives you a slightly different outlook on how we feel without crunching the numbers and without looking at the replays and without letting it sit for a while. Felt pretty good to vent, gotta say. Hopefully you enjoy it. The sound quality is not as crisp as what you're hearing right now, but it's listenable and it's fine, and it gives you a bit of ambience, as they say. After that, we'll check out some news and also a whole bunch of your letters. So stick with us. This is Sharkcast Pod, a bit different this week, but we hope that you enjoy it. All right, 4th of September, 2020. Cronulla Sharks lose to the Newcastle Knights up in Newcastle, round 17. Boy, oh boy, a very, very inept performance from our Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. They scored first, but aside from that, did not look like they were up for the fight. They were found out in defence. Their attack was unimaginative, and their errors and discipline were just through the roof in a very bad way. So that's how we start this emergency review of the podcast, Sharkcast Pod. I'm here on my lonesome at this point in time. My colleague is Adam Newman is celebrating his 40th birthday, and I am not able to be there for different reasons. But I did get to watch the Sharks game, and it was vastly disappointing. And I'm sure all of our listeners are pretty disappointed too in that result, but more so in the performance. It was clumsy. There were a lot of controversial moments that will probably involve several players missing out next week, and most notably Chad Townsend, who I would consider one of the nicest guys in the NRL, sent off, direct send off. Very bizarre play, 20 minute tap from Ponga, and the ref blows his whistle to stop the play, and Chatty's still moving, and he connects pretty high with a shoulder, I believe, and he was off. From there, we actually scored a try and didn't concede for a while, but then by the end of the match, we did concede quite a few points. But not too many guys out there can hold their head up too high, and I think we're going to have a bit of a rethink of what's going on here, because it's just not working. We can't beat a top eight team. We can beat people below us, but not above us. And Newcastle are only one step above us. And as we pointed out during the week, they're not that flash a team, and we made them look like the Harlem Globetrotters. So I'm not sure if it's the preparation. I'm not sure if it's when they crossed the white line, they don't know what's going on. Defense was deplorable. And as I said just before, the discipline was disgusting. So, where to from here? We're going to see some changes during the week, I would think, due to suspension, injury, and I'm guessing form. That loss puts John Morris under a bit of pressure, in my opinion only. Because we cannot lift for anyone above us. It's a fact. And they weren't even close tonight. Even though they scored the first try, the first kick from Blake Braley, who I love, out in the full. Why would you start the game like that? Terrible. So we're at a weird stage where we're probably going to make the finals, although it's not a done deal, that's for sure. The Warriors game becomes must win. Absolutely must win. Because you're going to probably concede you're not going to beat the Roosters and Raiders based on what we've seen this year. So Warriors is a must-win game, and that's not a certainty. So we're in this position where we probably make the eight. And is that a successful season? Not really. It's a weird season, I can give you that. But disappointing. Wow. A lot of the guys last week who played out of their skin, Will Kennedy, Trindle, they were off this week, and they're young. That's going to happen from week to week. I get that. And we have to live with that if we're going to move forward with these guys and with these young fellas. Ronaldo had a really unhappy night in defense and with his hands. And I'm not sure what's happening there. Jesse Ramian, for me, has been really disappointing for most of the year, I'm going to say, given what we think he can be. And tonight, yeah, not good enough, along with a whole lot of other guys. And I'm struggling to think of too many positives at the moment from what we saw in that 80 minutes. It's experience for the young guys, I'll give you that. You need the good ones for the bad ones. And that was bad. First half in particular, I thought was terrible. I really thought it was terrible. And that's where they lost it in the first half. Do you bring in Jack Williams? Give him a shot. I'm not sure that Fifita's 100% fit and ready to go again. Maybe he is. Against the Cowboys, he didn't look too effective. But you got to mix that up a little bit. The forwards, who were pretty good last week against the Cowboys, this week they were not so good at all. In the first half, I think the only players that made more than 40 metres were the two centres, Ramian and Dugan. So even though we didn't have a lot of ball when we had it, doing absolutely nothing. There was a try, I want to say the second or third try to the Knights, and obviously I don't have it in front of me as I talk. So we made about 30 metres from our set. It was one of the worst sets you'll ever see, sets of six. And we kicked from our 25-meter line, and they got it around the 55-meter line. And from there, they scored. It might have been the Ponga try, where he went straight through Ueli and Sorensen from memory. And that's what happens when you have bad sets and the forwards don't do their thing. There was another set, or maybe it was that same set, where we're on tackle five and not one forward to touch the ball. What is happening there? Why aren't the forwards hungry to mix it up? You can't just rely on your outside backs to make your meters. We saw tries from errors and You think they have it all to play for? We're 4 weeks out from the finals. You can jump ahead of Newcastle in the seventh and move your way up. Keep going forward with winning against the Warriors next week, maybe, but they offer up that very, very poor performance. I haven't invested in the press conference yet. I will by the time we do the official podcast later in the week. I can't imagine what John Morris has said. The send-off, possibly debatable? Possibly. Did it change the game? The game was already done. So, in my opinion, the game was done. They might argue that. Thankfully, there probably weren't too many Sharks fans at the game. Not many would have made the trek because there weren't any tickets available. So, aside from maybe family and friends of the players, you get to watch that from the comfort of your homes or friends' homes or the pub you're in or whatever. So, be thankful you weren't there, that's for sure. Oh boy. You know, I'm trying not to be overly dramatic or negative here. I'm just spouting what I would think are truths. But when I say I can't think of too many positives from this game, I'm being absolutely upfront and honest. And I'll have to review the game. I'll watch it again. I'll look at the stats, look at the data, but boy, I did not see that one coming, my friends. I thought it'd be tight, and I thought we would have every chance to win it. From the kickoff, out in the full, can't blame the loss on that, but what kind of attitude is that showing the world, the Cronulla Sharks? Should Bomber come under a bit more of a spotlight now? Now that we are just absolutely struggling against the top eight teams. Now that we have the worst defence in the NRL for quite some time now, this year speaking. There has to be some criticism somewhere within the club. I don't know who you want to blame. I'm blaming a whole lot of people, not one person at the moment. So, and starting with those 17 guys that played tonight, it was just really poor. Hopefully we can lift and beat the Warriors next week at Kogarah. I imagine we will because they're below us on the table. And that's what we do. We beat teams on the bottom of us and the teams above us we don't. Are we where we belong in eighth place? Is that where we belong? Should we be lower than that? Should we be higher? What are your thoughts? Tell me what you think. What positives do you see in the game that we watched tonight against Newcastle? Were there any at all? Because if there were, I want to hear about it. I want to be open about it. And I want to discuss it. Sharkcastpod@gmail.com. Get in touch with us. Thank you very much for listening to this emergency review breakdown, literally, of the match that was against Newcastle in Newcastle tonight. Friday, September 4th, 6 p.m. kickoff. Boy, oh boy. You all take care, right? Bye.
Sharkcast Radio would not be possible without the generous support of Dyson Logistics.
Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service.
Dyson has a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates. Find them online at www.dysonlogistics.com or call them 8399-1844.
Dyson Logistics, service delivered.
And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away by doing that. We gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked. What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Okay, so that was recorded last Friday night, post the Newcastle game, driving home. Mini meltdown, mini emergency pod. Fiori's a bit later on in the week, so not too much more to say on that game. There are a lot of stats I could go through, a lot of numbers, a lot of data, but, you know, I feel like that will do us for now on that game. You guys and girls have addressed a few things in the letter section as well, which we'll get to, so we might move on to the news now, my friends. Chad Townsend, Wade Graham and Toby Rudolph have all taken the early guilty plea on match review charges from the game against the Knights. Chad will miss 3 games. Graham will miss 2, and Toby will be free to play after taking the early guilty plea. Discipline really let us down last week, amongst a whole lot of other things. But you could sort of see in the attitude, the way they were defending when they were making those tackles, the illegalities, it just was not positive football. Even with the Chad one, which I still believe a week later is circumstantial, completely in the wrong. But I feel like the fact the referee blew the whistle, Ponga heard, Chad didn't, there's got to be a little bit of leniency there towards the guy. But what's done is done. He's going to be out until the finals, should we make it. And I think, as he said in his explanation of it on his YouTube channel, I don't know if he's really been sin binned, let alone sent off in his whole career. So missing Chad, missing Wade, we'll get to that a bit later on in the preview. Quick note on the Harvey Norman Women's Premiership Sharks team. They are in a grand final qualifier against the minor premiers, the Roosters, this Saturday at Campbelltown Stadium, 3 o'clock. If you can get out there and support them, I'm presuming you're allowed to go. I don't know. Maybe do your research on that. But just watching the Thursday night Souths v Tigers game. Young Rabideau just went in to score. They're up 12-0, it looks like. We have signing news, and it's very positive. Last week, Toby Rudolph signed an extension until the end of 2021, which is brilliant news. Being one of our best players all year, probably our best forward. And hopefully beyond that, we can sign him long term. So it took a while to get the official thing happening, but it is official now. The Warriors did not win his heart. The Sharks keep his heart. Toby Rudolph, fan favourite, and for good reason. And he's worked hard for it. I mean, some shocking injuries on his way to the Sharks. I remember seeing him during a few training sessions in 2019 before he made his comeback to New South Wales Cup. And he was out there slogging it out in the rehab group, but also just on his own, just working really hard week in, week out. And you could see the determination and the strength he carried in the way that he was rehabbing. You could tell he was going to be something. And boy, oh boy, he, at the moment, one of our best, if not best forward. So congratulations to Toby on the new contract. Another young fellow who's earned an extension, a new 3-year deal for Sione Katoa. He'll be at the Sharks until at least the end of 2023, and he has had a monumental season, as you all know, scoring tries at will, sexy tries as well, and he's earned that. So hopefully he can hold that spot down for the next 3 or 4 years, which would be fantastic. And again, a guy who did his trade in New South Wales Cup, had some opportunities on and off in NRL. This year he's made the opportunities really stick. So congratulations to Sione as well. I mentioned I was watching the Rabbitohs West Tigers game. Well, it's on in the background as I record this. Race to the finals. The Sharks win in the Warriors match will officially end the Warriors season. A Sharks win would also mean the top 8 has been decided for 2020 if the Tigers lose tonight. So if the Sharks win and Tigers lose, then it's all over completely, is as far as I can tell. A Warriors win against the Sharks would leave them two points behind us, but with an inferior points differential. They'd then need us to lose to the Roosters and Raiders, which is highly likely, let's face it. And then the Warriors would need to win their final two games against Canberra and Manly. So there is some hope there for other teams, including our team, but we're hoping it's going to go our way and hoping that we can slip into that final top 8. The 38-10 loss to Newcastle, by the way, was our second biggest loss this year, aside from the Panthers game. And the 10 points we scored is the lowest we have scored since the resumption of the competition in round 3. That's why people are so disappointed by that performance against Newcastle. As pointed out, we've won 9 of 11 against teams below us on the ladder. We are 0-6 against teams above us. So much improvement needs to happen, and happen pretty quickly. Short news section, back on the other side with a million letters, and they're all entertaining. So stick with the Sharkcast pod.
Buying or selling a property is one of the most stressful undertakings that you can do in your entire life. Luckily, Sharkcast Radio is supported by one of the best and most honest real estate agents in the Sutherland Shire market and is an expert in the North Caringbah region. I sold my property with Jason Hawes from Cripps and Cripps Real Estate and could not have been happier with the outcome. Call Jason on 0410-417-450. That's Jason from Cripps and Cripps Real Estate, 0410-417-450.
Trista, Green, kicks across the park, Saylor's on his own, Barnett has scored! Richard Barnett has scored! That is incredible!
Okay, welcome back to the letters section. This is the time of the show where you guys and girls get to have your opinion. We appreciate everyone getting in touch with us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. DM us if you like on social media as well. Follow us there if you don't. And I'm going to read these letters as thoroughly as I can. I had to edit some of them because they're quite long, but I'm not going to do them a disservice, I hope. So the first one is from Caleb from the great rock and roll town of Geelong. I say Geelong, I mean Geelong. He starts off talking about something we referenced on the episode last week, something that Adam referenced, and that was the fact that he had heard whispers that the club was very open to people from the past coming back to the Sharks. Go and have a listen, last week's episode. Caleb says, I just about threw my phone through my computer when I heard on your last episode that some within the club would like Shane Flanagan to come back. Bomber is on the verge of making the finals for a second straight year despite being hamstrung by the salary cap and blooding one of the youngest teams I can remember. I can't recall a time I've been more optimistic about our long-term prospects. Flano, for all his good qualities, was never fond of giving these younger guys a go. Woods, Dugan and Moylan have all hamstrung our cap. Flano will always have a special part in my heart, but he also oversaw a peptide scandal, salary cap breaches, a breach on his peptide ban, the signing of multiple big names to bad contracts, and we're only now getting back on track and being respected as good NRL citizens again. This kind of attitude reeks of some board members looking after a mate and chasing short-term wins. Some really great points there from Caleb. We have to stress that what we mentioned last week was what we'd heard, and we cannot tell you how serious those thoughts are from the people that we are talking about, but there's plenty of whispers out there. We're not the only ones talking about it. Some great points there, Caleb. You've never been more optimistic about our long-term prospects. That's a big statement, my friend. I'm happy to hear it. Positive attitude. I love it. I see where you're coming from. I think that with a young squad growing over the years, you can develop into something that what Penrith are doing this year, something quite special, with a lot of either local juniors or guys that have been in the lower grades and systems for a while. And you're right. Flanagan loved experienced players. He loved a heavy defense. That took us all the way to the greatest title you can get. It took a while to build, but it worked. Bomber completely respects the younger guys in the sense that he'll throw them in when they're ready and not wait until they hit a certain age, for example, or until they've played 3 or 4 years of lower grades. And from what we've seen, there's more of a reliance on attack than defense. So two pretty different styles. And it has to be said, in attack this year, the Sharks have been really entertaining to watch. And aside from 2016, you probably wouldn't say that overly about the years that Shane had us in charge, but we were winning lots of games, so there weren't a lot of complaints about the way we were winning. Watch this space, Caleb. We'll see what happens moving forward. It may come to nothing. There might be something in it. Let's wait it out and see what happens. Next up, we have Jason from God's Country. He says, "You both make me laugh. You're like a couple that's been married for 60 years. Adam ribbing Sam about the love of his life, Valentine Holmes, or Sam ribbing Adam about his communications with Flano." Thank you, Jason. We very much find that amusing, and you're pretty close to being completely accurate there. He says, "Any thoughts on signing Katoni Staggs in the future?" I personally cannot speak for Adam, but I think Katoni Staggs has a great future ahead of him. And if he wanted to be a Cronulla Shark, I would be definitely open to looking at making that happen. He is an outstanding centre at the moment. I think with age and a bit of growth, he might move into the back row. Pretty good goal kicker. I'm not sure about his defence in the sense that I haven't watched him completely in that role defending. I've seen him let in a few tries, but I don't know if it's a problem, and I would definitely be open to it. Jason finishes up saying, "Happy birthday for last Friday, Adam. Best wishes for another year. Up, up." Thank you very much, Jason. On behalf of Adam, I'm sure Adam will be in touch as well. All right, we have Sean. Sean says, "Firstly, I love your work, boys, and have been an avid listener in what has been my first season listening to Sharkcast Radio. Excellent tuning in to like-minded people and enjoying the weekly reviews of how the team is traveling." Thank you very much, Sean. Not sure where you've been the last 5 years, but we appreciate you definitely jumping on this year. And as I said in my reply to your email, if you have time, go back and listen to the 2016 episodes, particularly the final series. They're a lot of fun to listen back to. So that's how I spend my off seasons usually. Last week, the discussion of Shane Flanagan coming back to the club popped up, and I was quite shocked that the talks of him returning as head coach was even an option. If this season has proved anything, it's that John Morris has more than the necessary knowledge, patience and mentality to take hold of the team for years to come. An old school coach like Flano wouldn't have given players like Talakai, Hunt and Wilton a run. I hope the board re-sign Morris long term, looking forward to how he goes in recruitment with a full salary cap and getting our team in the forefront of people's minds when we talk about the Sharks and attacking football in the same sentence. He also says, "God knows I haven't forgiven the club for letting Tyson Frizzell and Tyrone Peachy go." Up, up. Sean, thanks again for tuning in. And if you have any Shark friends out there, tell them to listen to. We did receive a lot of mail about the possibility that the club would be open to older staff coming back in the future. And it was overwhelmingly against that happening. Not completely, but overwhelmingly, that's the right term, right? I think so. I can't dispute anything you've said there, Sean. It's all accurate, as most of our listeners' mail is, because you're also smart about the Sharks. And I, too, cannot get over the fact that we let Tyrone Peachy go, and also Tyson Frizzell. They were guns in the under-20s, guns in the grades below that. Two guys that we've watched grow up in front of our eyes. One of them a local junior, one from down the coast. Frizzell is an international player now, captain of his club. Peachy's starting to find some of the form back that he had at the Sharks. It's been missing for a few years, it has to be said. But I believe that if he's coached the right way and allowed to play the game that he can play, I think that Tyrone Peachy is an absolute match winner. And I've always said, based on his talent, based on his surname, he had to be a Shark for life. That's just how I think. That's my mentality. And nothing has changed for me over the years since he left. I understand why he left. He was in a star-studded pack. I just think that if I was the one writing the checks, I would have kept him around. West Tigers are in. Sean, thanks again. Appreciate it. 20-10 South. That's a lot of points. All right, next up we have Blake. Blake says, "Gents, that was hard to watch last week. For a team looking to secure a top 8 spot, we never looked in the fight. What I want to address is Chad Townsend. I lost count of the times Chad got tackled with the ball in the first half, and I can't say they were actual runs trying to take on the line. It looked more like Chad either submitting or taking a tackle rather than forcing a pass. The Sharks never seemed to organise an attack. Whether that's on Chad or not, I'll let you debate. Big fan of Connor Tracy, always gives 110%, and the only time we looked threatening was when he was on the field. I think Bryson and Kennedy will be lucky to be there next week. Unfortunately, way below par for Kennedy after a great game the week before." All right, Blake, thank you very much for all of that. Regarding Chad Townsend, this is just my opinion. Adam will have his own opinion on the next episode. Chad is not having an overly happy year. He's not alone there. I personally feel like he's a bit of a target and a bit of a fall guy for the fact that the Sharks aren't going well. It seems like whenever the Sharks aren't going well, it's his fault. I saw one thing on social media last week, and you know, that's a whole other world, but people were blaming him for the Ponga try, which was through the middle of the field, and it was Sorensen and Ueli who he went straight through. Chad was not even three players close to the event happening. People on social media blaming Chad. It's like, okay, that's weird. I feel like he's a bit of a fall guy for what's wrong with the Sharks. The thing with Chad, in my opinion, is that his role is to be one that is very solid. He's not really one that's going to be making line breaks. He doesn't often chip and chase and score. He's done it a few times and it's been beautiful. But he guides them around the park. Now, if players drop balls, it's on the guy passing it as well as the guy trying to catch it. So, for example, and just for the game last week against the Knights, out of all the players out there, if you take out the incident on Ponga, there were so many bad defensive reads from players other than Chad, and no one's talking about them. No one's online tweeting about them or on Facebook or on Instagram, and not many of you are writing in about it. But there were so many defensive lapses and bad reads from all sides of that field, yet Chad's the one that cops it. In attack, we barely got into their 20-meter zone. What option does he have aside from putting up a bomb or a long bomb to get some distance to try and start the set from a decent spot? For the opposition to start the set from a decent spot. Even I was like, come on, Chad, that's enough of the bombs. But what's he supposed to do when the forwards aren't doing anything? They're relying on the backs to make some meters. And he's kicking from his own 40-meter line. Trindle was doing the same thing. Sean would do the same thing. They would all kick the same way to get some distance to try and get the opposition to start at a decent part of the field. So things like that make me sympathize with Chad and people knocking him so much. As far as the submitting or taking the tackle rather than forcing a pass, look, that could have been the fact that he'd had a month off through injury, finding his touch again, finding his timing. It's a weird year. And last year he was voted as the best player in the club. A lot of people disputed that. That's fine. But the fact he was voted that by fans and the club meant that he had a decent year. This year, in a very strange year, like a whole bunch of other guys out there in the black, white and blue, not having the best year. And we're eighth and we've had some good wins. We've scored some great tries. But there's not a lot of the guys out there that can really say they're having a strong season. You could say Katoa is. You could say Johnson is. You could say Toby is and Blake. But they all have errors in their game and they all have ways to go to becoming great footballers. And Chad's older than most of those guys. Sometimes I feel like I am defending him too much, but sometimes I feel other people are looking to find fault in something that maybe isn't there. It's going to be interesting. I personally don't think that the Sharks are going to win the next three games leading into the finals, but say they do, or say they beat the Warriors, go close to beating the Roosters and then beat the Raiders, which is a big ask still. If whoever plays in the halves, and this week it's Sean and Connor, if they play lights out, then maybe John Morris will have a case to think about what to do with Chad. But I think at the moment, John Morris is going to go with his best halves, his best halves pairings. And historically speaking, those halves are Sean Johnson and Chad Townsend. It doesn't mean Connor doesn't deserve a shot. It doesn't mean Trindle doesn't deserve a shot. Trindle was pretty stinky last week. It was only his third game of NRL. Third or fourth game. I'm not going to say a bad word about the kid. No one should. Thank you very much, Blake. All right, Shags is up next. Shags says, as always, good pod and chat about all things Sharks. Couple of points from last episode. Number one, for me, it's a backward step, the talk of Flano coming back. The bloke left the place in a mess. I'm not even sure he's a good coach. The team was primed to win with the players in the squad for 2016. How much was Flanagan and how much was Lewis, Ennis, Maloney and Gal? If the club wanted to back him and the baggage he carries, I'd be very disappointed. Shag, some big statements there, which I respect. I see where you're coming from. I have to think that he can coach. Some massive personalities in that 2016 team. From the youngsters in Val and Bird to the veterans. Defensively, we were really strong for the majority of the year. And the attack was fantastic due to guys like Maloney and Barber and Valentine, to name only three, of course. You raise a good point, though. An interesting point, at the very least. Could someone else have taken that team as far as they went? I've never really thought about it. So thank you for raising that. I think I will disagree with you, though, Shags. I will say that he's a good coach. Thank you for your opinion on that, though. I appreciate it. Point two, Moylan. The bloke is so disappointed about his constant injuries. I spoke to him the other day and he couldn't believe that it was gone again in a different spot. And that's a very human side to what we've talked about this year with Moylan. Absolutely, some of his performances haven't been up to scratch. Some have, as we pointed out as well. But the fact that he is so injury prone has to bring him down mentally. And that sucks. No one deserves that. And thank you very much, Shags, for raising that. He also goes on to say, what is going on with Wade? Mentally, he seems lost. Position-wise, he seems lost. The game has moved away from his type on the edge. Perhaps a move to the middle with hands on the ball. Shags, I love it. I love it. I don't know that his spot on the left is one that is wasted, but I think you're right about him getting the ball in his hands more often, which would mean playing in the center, playing a lock position in the center of the field. And he definitely has been a bit off this year. And I guess in my point before about Chad Townsend, you look at some of Wade Graham's stats and they're not what you think they're going to be. He's made the most one-on-one tackles in the NRL. That's something that's really good. He's missed, I think it's the second most amount of tackles in the NRL now. It was the most, now I think it's the second most. That's really bad. And often when we look at try causes for the Sharks, we're looking at winger, center, half. We're not looking one man in, and that's edge, back rower. And a number of times this year, it's been our captain. And not on his own, but for example, last week, if you look at the game against the Knights, I cannot think of who it was that scored, but it was in the second half. To be fair to Wade, he may have sustained an injury before that. I know he had a rib injury. I'm not sure when the rib injury was, but he barely even puts his hand out. And these things happen. I'm not going to dedicate a podcast episode to it, but Wade has been very up and down this year. Lastly, from Sharks, he says, the Knights game was an appalling display. I'm going to say it was worse than the Panthers game. At least the Panthers are contenders and a good football team. Thanks, Shags. I completely agree with you. Our good friend, Andrew Eisenhower, the man with impeccable music taste, says, a little bit different here, I work raising money for young people who want to build themselves a better life. I work for the Sir David Martin Foundation. Helps young people in crisis. All have addictions, most undiagnosed mental illness. From Mossman to Broken Hill, this stuff does not discriminate. I tell you this because I'm off social media currently for the month as part of our reset challenge. That essentially, from what I understand, Andrew, is taking time off from social media to avoid the negativity that is on there and just focus on other things that are in your world. And I'm not suggesting that social media is completely negative, but obviously there are a lot of negative attachments to it. And it's good to see, Andrew, that that's helping your world and other people's worlds. So awesome work, man. Andrew also says, I want to throw my mate Daz under the bus with the following comment. We were having a chat about how good it was to have some of the younger blokes getting first grade experience, and that Bomber can at least point to that as a positive season. This is my mate Darren's response, and although he listens to you, he's not quite ready to engage. So here it is. Morris needs to employ a defensive coach if he wants to keep his job. All the teams he's coached have posted massive scores in competitions that don't rely on defense, i.e. juniors and under 20s. Daz, you are correct in saying that. I believe that to be true as well. I also want you to get in touch with us, Daz. Don't be shy. I live my life shy and it's not much fun, so don't be shy, all right? Thanks for listening to both of you guys. Just on that, it was announced this week that our defensive coach has been signed to go to Canterbury next year to work under Trent Barrett in attack. I'll leave that one with you. Okay, next up we have Owen. I believe it's pronounced Owen, so I apologize if I've got that wrong. He says, "Hi guys, big fan of the podcast. Too much to say about the game last week, but I'll try and summarize key points. The lack of urgency to get off the tackle causing six agains was frankly unprofessional." Agreed. Huge issue. I believe we give away the second most ruck infringements. Hamlin Ueli is awesome in attack, but he's been too casual in defense this season. Friday night highlighted that. The first Ponga try through him and Sorensen was absolutely shocking. I also agree with that. And when you see the team line up for this week, one of those guys didn't make the top 17. But good point. Hamlin Ueli's defense has been a little bit lackluster when needed from time to time this year. In attack, he's still really strong. Attack being big meters, scoring some tries as well. But he does need to work on some of that defense. I don't know if it's a problem, but it's noticeable at the moment. Very interesting point here from Ian. If we're going to play guys like Sorensen and Williams at lock, who don't add much in attack, and are capable of lapses in defense, why not play Magulius and add a ball-playing element? He can't be that much worse than the other two in defense. Look, I don't disagree with that. I think for all of the strength that Sorensen and Williams bring you, and they are strong fellows, and they can make some meters, when it comes to the dirty work in defense, like a whole bunch of other guys in the team, the one-on-one contact, it's not fantastic. Billy deserves a shot at some point, you would think. He's in the 21-man squad this week. At this stage, I probably would try it, Ian, but whether that happens or not, I'm not sure. To end on a positive, whew, there haven't been too many this episode, my friend. I thought Brayley and Tracy, when he came on, were the only two to come out with a bit of credit to their name. Really enjoying watching Connor Tracy lately. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much for that fantastic letter. We really appreciate it, and some great words there. And I agree with you. Brayley has been really strong most of the year, and Connor looks really, really dangerous from time to time. So let's see what they can do this week against the Warriors. All right, Jordan says that was probably our worst performance of the season. Incredibly frustrating to see the team fall to pieces when there's pressure put on them. They simply wilted. My question, if you're Bomber Morris turning up to training on a Monday morning after a loss like that, what do you say to them? How do you get the team firing and defending like a professional football side? Is it poor coaching? Is it poor discipline from the players letting Bomber down? Or does he need to get someone in who's a specialist defensive coach? There's another question after that as well. But to the first question, I don't know if I'd be waiting till Monday morning to let them know how I feel. That's coming from Sam Schnazzy, who has never coached a rugby league team in his life. I've studied a bit at university on how to talk to groups of people. I've looked after a few junior sides, but I've never done what Bomber's done. And Bomber is an educated man, it has to be pointed out. He's got many degrees in lots of various subjects. He did say in his press conference that they were embarrassed enough and they were hurt enough that occasionally when he does feel the need to yell at them, he doesn't. And I'm paraphrasing those words, but that was in his last press conference against Newcastle, if you want to go watch that. But we've seen in videos and we've heard from players and from staff, like, he lets them have it. And he's disappointed as anyone, probably more than anyone, it's fair to say. Think about John Morris as a player. Not flash, but he could defend. He could also attack. And he carried himself with a lot of purpose. He played 300 games exactly. That's a lot of games. He knows what he's doing. So to answer your question, is it the coaching or is it the players letting him down? I don't have a matter-of-fact answer on that. My estimation would be that it's somewhere in the middle. I think that both the players and the coach could probably improve in that department. That's a wild guess, right? Does he need to bring in a specialist defensive coach? It can't hurt at this point, right? It can't hurt. My second question is, what are your honest thoughts on Chad? Has the club gotten to the point where a serious decision needs to be made over the number 7 jersey? Thanks, lads. Up, up. Okay, Jordan, on Chad, I talked about him a little bit before. At the moment, I don't think that they need to make a serious decision about that. He's under contract for a number of years to come. Should he have a number of years where the form isn't where it needs to be? Well, that's a different take on that. But at the moment, when they're all in such up and down form, with the exception of probably 3 or 4 players in a squad of say 20 guys at least that are regularly playing, that's a lot of guys who you would have the same conversation about. I do think that we are in a good spot, that we have 4 halves that can all now play first grade. So if the coach feels like he wants to mix it up a little bit, he has that option. And I think that's fantastic, because in years gone by, we have not had that. Many clubs do not have that option. If you think about a sport like the NFL, which starts tomorrow, thank goodness, a backup quarterback who can play is super rare. Out of the 32 teams, I'm guessing there might be 6 backup guys who you would really rely on. And the rest might win you a game or two, but you wouldn't want them there for more than that. Look at our halves, which is the equivalent of a quarterback, and all 4 guys can play on their day. So, and they all have different talents. Chad historically is a guy that can lead you around really well, kick pretty good, bring some energy to his game. Sean has the tricks as well as a good kicking game, or a great kicking game. Plus, he's a goal kicker. When he runs, it's pretty special. Connor is very, very quick. And Trindle is a bit of an all-rounder for a young guy with a really good kicking game. So I think that we're in a good spot, that I'm not that keen to let go of one of them at the moment. You need depth, right? Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it. Oh, intercept in the South game. What's going on here? Okay, Troy from Maitland, loyal, long-time listener. He says, that was totally inept, embarrassing, and there was no defense, stupid errors, and dumb penalties. Ueli had a shocker, a stupid lift by Wade. Ramian and Ronaldo's edge is horrible. Ronaldo flew out of the line at a Knights play with his head down, not even looking, and Ramian just didn't look like he was interested. I don't think Chad's hit was a send-off, but it was a shoulder charge and dumb play. Looks like we'll limp into the 8th spot and not fire a shot in the finals. Connor Tracy was brilliant when he came on, but that was about the only good thing. Everyone agrees Connor Tracy was good last week, so he's in the team this week coming, so he's got a chance to hold down that spot. He's played a lot of games this year in the 17. Troy also says, was Fifita injured or dropped after he came back for 1 week and then was named in 21 and didn't play? Look forward to the pod as always. Up, up. Thanks, Troy. Appreciate all that. I don't know that Andy was officially dropped, but he certainly wasn't picked. Being at the game against the Cowboys, it was very obvious that Andy looked really enthusiastic about being out there, but his body was not living up to that same response. And his hit-ups were not the strongest, and it's one of the least effective games I've seen Andy play. Now, getting some match fitness was great, and maybe there was some plan just to give him some time against the Cowboys, who we thought we would beat, and the Knights next week would be a bit harder, and maybe there was the plan to rest him. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he was dropped or not. I can't categorically say that or not. He's back this week, though, as far as we know, so perhaps he was just given another rest. He's the sort of guy that you're going to probably have to rest over the next few years. I look up on my screen, there's a fight going on. Another loyal listener. You're all loyal listeners, we appreciate it. Nathan says, hey guys, another poor performance from the Sharks. With standard handling errors, ordinary defense, poor discipline, and little respect for the opposition. We are not learning from our mistakes. Do you see this as a coaching issue or just a bad habit the playing group has picked up? Thanks, guys, and up the Sharks. Some terrific points there, Nathan. A coaching issue or bad habit? I got to lean towards bad habit, because there's no way the coach is teaching him to drop the ball or to give away penalties and ruck infringements. I think where the coach definitely comes under the spotlight is the defense. Most missed tackles, most line breaks. I feel like definitely the coach and coaching staff need to take some responsibility for that. If you go through the examples of, say, missed tackles, tries conceded throughout the year, there would be a whole bunch where you would say to yourself, oh, that player should have made that tackle. And in those instances, that's not on the coach, right? But I think that repeated examples of that, just things like last week, Ponga going through Ueli and Sorensen, it's on the player completely. John Morris isn't missing those tackles, but he's up there watching from the grandstand. So what you do about that, there's only so many players you can drop or, you know, punish. And it is up to the coach to make the players better. And we know, for example, a guy like Ueli can defend pretty strongly. So it would be up to the coaching staff to say to him, this is where you've gone wrong. Study your video, look at your technique, and this is how we're going to improve it next week. So, for example, let's watch Ueli this week against the Warriors and see how he defends. If he defends a lot better, maybe the coaching staff have improved on that, as well as the player. Thanks for being in touch, Nathan. Hope to see you out of the game. Our inbox is just through the roof this week, and it has been to most of the year, and we really appreciate it. Definitely the most mail we've received in a season, I would say even including the premiership season. So thank you very much for that. We definitely appreciate it. Now tonight, as I record, it is the 4-year anniversary of the win over Canberra in the first week of the finals of 2016 down at Canberra. Very famous win, one of the great wins in Shark history. And you would think the one that really took them to the grand final. I know you are thinking it's the Cowboys game took them to the grand final. Yes, but the Canberra game, away from home, no Gallon. Wade goes down. Capewell plays the whole game, more or less. Down 12-0. Pry goes nuts. Valentine scores. Ennis does the clap. We almost lose in the last second. No one talks about that. I think, was it Beal that dropped the ball and they went right and then did a little kick? 4 years tonight. And Ashley has written to us. He says, hey guys, do you remember the 2016 playoff against Canberra when Edric Lee was going in for the try and dropped the ball? What was your reactions prior to the siren and after the siren, knowing we were one game away from a grand final? I forgot about the Edric Lee drop ball. That was massive. And then we signed him a year or two later. He scores there. You think that maybe they go on with it. Maybe that's it. Very unfortunate for him. I shed a tear that night. Like many games in 2016, and you guys know I love to talk about 2016, it gave you that feeling that that was the year. And even sitting in my seat at the grand final, you just had that feeling that not only were they going to win, but if they weren't going to win that year, when were they going to win? So it all adds up. Throughout the year, there were great moments, and that was one of the best, the Canberra game. Brilliant game to watch back on replay if you get to see it or if you've got it recorded or whatever. Full of emotion and a remarkable win. And don't forget the ride that Canberra were on that year. We had the ride for the first three quarters of the year and they came home particularly strong. For all intents and purposes, they should have beaten us, particularly given the circumstances of that night. But it wasn't meant to be. And Ash, I remember being especially proud. So thank you very much for being in touch. We also had a message from Andrew on Twitter. He said, gents, I've seen the 21-man list for this week. Moylan's well and truly injured and really on the outer. If Bomber has named Billy Magulius in front of him at 21, I hadn't thought about that, Andrew, in that way. I believe that Moylan is well and truly injured is how I'll answer that, I think. Thank you very much for being in touch. And I think if I've done all my admin properly, that might be all the mail that we were going to read out tonight. So, again, thank you to each and every one of you for writing in. And a whole bunch of you just wanted to say hello and thanks for the pod as well, which we appreciate. And that was the letter section. Keep them coming, please. Sharkcastpod@gmail.com or DM us on our various social media sites. At Sharkcastpod is the handle. Can have a breather. Speak to you soon.
The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking, and is the best venue around for lunch, dinner, casual catch-up with friends, or function.
They always show NRL games live on the big screens, And Sunday arvos are superb with live acoustic music in the beer garden while the boats frame the backdrop. And you mean I love acoustic music, you know that?
Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights serving great food. And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free
garlic bread, baby.
The RMYC Port Hacking, Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or check out their Facebook feed to see what's on.
Eddinghausen and Green laying it on. Peachy's into the space. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores for the Sharks.
Well, I'll tell you, it is one of the best scrum moves you've ever seen.
All right, all right, all right. 6:30 p.m. v. the Warriors at Kogra. Here is our Cronulla Sharks team and how they're going to line up as of this moment. Will Kennedy at fullback, Sione Katoa returns, and Ronaldo is also on the other wing. Josh Dugan and Jesse Ramin hold their places in the centres. Connor Tracy starts at six with Sean Johnson, who returns. So that's a new halves pairing for us. Braden Hamlin-Ueli, Blake Braley and Aaron Woods are in the front row. Britton Nakora, Talakai and Toby Rudolph are named in the back row. Toby may switch from there as per, but you would think going into the game this week that Britton and Talakai will be our back row. Second rowers at the very least. Immediate bench, Teague Wilton returns, Jack Williams returns, Andrew Fifita returns, and a Royce Hunt in his familiar 17 jumper. So that's the immediate bench of Wilton, Williams, Fifita, and Hunt. Pretty big bench. Extended bench is Scott Sorensen, Bryson Goodwin, Braden Trindle, and Billy Magoulias. So Sorensen, essentially, for want of a better word, dropped. Bryson makes way for Sione. Trindle, at the moment, not playing. And Billy Magoulias returns in the playing squad to be named for the first time in a while. So not sure what that means for Billy, but maybe he's a shot. Since 2012, we won 11 of 14 against the Warriors, our best winning percentage against any opponent in this time. Since 2012, our best winning percentage. We met last in round 10. We won 46-10, our second biggest win ever over them. Both Katoa and Ramian scored doubles. This is the third time the Sharks will host the Warriors in a regular season match away from Shark Park. Can you tell me where the other two matches were? I'll give you 5 seconds. In 2005, they defeated the Warriors 28-24 in Perth. And in 2011, the Warriors won 26-18 in Taupo, New Zealand. The Sharkies have won just 15 of 42 matches at Kogra. Three of those wins have come this year. We're chasing three straight wins at the venue for the first time since 1978 to 1981. The Warriors also don't like playing there. They've lost 5 of 6 matches at the venue. Their last match, they lost 50-6 to the Melbourne Storm in round 7. Head-to-head, the Warriors are making the second fewest line breaks and busting the second fewest tackles, but the Sharks are conceding the most line breaks and missing the most tackles, so that kind of evens itself out a little bit, you would think. After a pretty strong middle period of the season, winning 6 of 7 matches, the Sharks have now gone win-loss, win-loss since round 12. If this trend continues, we win the match. Oh, Souths are in. 24-12, 20 to go. You guys and girls know the score already. We have the best what I'm going to call red zone attack in the league, which means we only need 8 tackles inside our opposition 20 to score a try, which is remarkable. Defensively, so shoe another foot, so to speak, we concede a try almost every 9 tackles in the same zone of the field, which is the second worst ratio in the NRL ahead of only the Brisbane Broncos. Good in attack, not so good in defence. Need to improve that. Taking a look at the Warriors, they lost to Parramatta last week, broke a 2-game winning streak. 5 of their past 6 matches decided by 6 points or less, so it could be a close one. They offload quite a lot, the second most in the NRL. Here's where we get them. The Warriors are scoring the fewest first half points. Let's go out and start the match well, which we haven't done recently. Let's start the match well, let's lead at halftime, and then go on to win the match. They've conceded a whole bunch of tries from kicks. The most of any team, in fact. So let's kick to them. Danger man. Danger man. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
most meters in the NRL, averaging second most meters. Still, in this day and age, a very, very dangerous and destructive player. Shaun Johnson returns. He leads the NRL in try assists, as you all know. He played 162 matches for the Warriors. He holds their club record for most points and most goals. He will start in the halves alongside Connor Tracy for the first time. A little bit on the coaches. John Morris and Todd Payton were both teammates of the West Tigers. They played 57 games together. There's a little stat for you. Little party trick. So, Sunday evening, 6:30 p.m. at Kogarah. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. The Sharks are going to win because they have to win. It's going to be relatively close because the Warriors, since we played them, are a slightly different team. They have a slightly different attitude, and that is a never-say-die one. They are completely beatable. We need to win this game. I'm going to say we will win this game. The Sharks in 2020 are a team that needs to play like it's a semi-final every week. And when I say that, I don't mean like last week where we were playing against another semi-final bound team. I mean, we need to play strong football, defend well, complete sets, and from the back of that, you get your attacking football. You have to earn the right. Last week, they didn't earn anything. They were barely getting out of their half in their own sets, which meant the halves were kicking from really bad positions, and our fullback dropped the ball a lot. Our hooker kicked the ball out in the full from kickoffs. Our centres defended really badly. Our wingers weren't that much better. I'm picking on every position here because what I'm saying is they have to play like semi-final football. Do you remember in 2016, that great year? Do you remember in 2018, we could play big-time football? Now, a game against the Warriors isn't big-time football, but it's must-win. Must-win means big game. Complete your sets. Earn the right to play good, attacking, sexy football because we can do it. We can do it with our eyes closed, it would seem. Although that's probably not true. Earn the right. Please. Please go out there and play good, strong, disciplined football. To the young fellas out there, Connor Tracy, Talakai, Teague Wilton's getting on the shot early on in his career. Go out there and show everyone that you deserve your spot there. That this is your future. To the older guys, Woods, who we saw have a great game against the Cowboys. Andy, when you get on. Wade Graham, lead the way. Show them how to play good, strong, disciplined football. Winnable game, must win. Thanks for listening. Sam Schnazzy on behalf of the birthday boy, Adam Newman, who will be back next week. Adam wanted me to pass on, by the way, that he was pretty disappointed in the night's game. Bomber did apologize in the press conference for the fans. Adam said he didn't really accept that apology. But I think that he probably does because he likes Bomber. But anyway, thanks for tuning in. Sharkcastpod@gmail.com. Follow us on the socials. Importantly, subscribe to this podcast. If you're not already, just hit subscribe. I'm going to leave you all with some music because I can't play Upper Cronulla because we didn't win last week. I only play it when they win. I give you the Shins. New slang. Might see you out of the game, huh? Up the Sharks. Jump.
right when you die. Holding bone, dawn breaks like a bull through the hall. Never should have called, but my head's to the wall and I'm lonely. And if you turn to me like a girl takes to the wind, I'd have jumped from my trees and died and dance like a king in the ice. Godspeed, all the beggars at dawn, and they all cut their thumbs and bleed into their bones till they melt away. I'm looking in on the good life I might do never to find. Without a trust, a flaming field, am I too dumb to refine? To me, like I'd advance like.